Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's podcast, What to Do When You Get Promoted, Part 2 of 2.
This cast answers these questions. What should I do when I get promoted? After celebrating, of course. How can I be effective quickly after a promotion? Are there things I should do once I get promoted?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. How does an idea go from unthinkable to reality? Join Michael Reitz as he explains the Overton window and how legal and regulatory changes shape business and society. Register now at manager-tools.com/executive speaker series for our executive speaker series call on October the 18th. Now, folks, we want you to pay special attention to meetings that, in your opinion, relate to what you understand to be the executive systems that run your organization. Generally, these executive systems are named something that has to do with strategy or planning or operations or people. And these are, if you've been paying attention, the three components of our effective executive conference. And they are the executive systems in operation in all well-managed organizations.
And actually, they exist almost everywhere. People just don't know exactly what they are. They don't name them. And naming them is very helpful in well-run organizations because now you can talk about it and you have a framework for thinking about it. And now, typically, all these meetings, strategy, operations, people, they have a cadence, okay? Doing a full Monty on your reviewing your boss's calendar means printing it out in weekly increments where you may miss daily details, but you might be able to see a better pattern of recurring monthly or quarterly events. I've never had that. Some people have told me in the community they like looking at weekly because it takes them up a level. I've always found that if I'm going through daily, the cadences hit me pretty clearly. But if that helps you, great, go ahead.
Yeah. And folks, we can completely appreciate, depending upon your level in the organization, that quarterly events seem less important to you. Because your role is one where you're kind of down in the weeds with the daily stuff. But no, quarterly meetings are how your organization runs. So look for those quarterly events. They do exist and they matter quite a bit in terms of the requests that you're going to be getting. So know where they are. I identify them.
Yeah, I actually had this conversation with a couple people at a recent conference. It was either the Effective Senior Manager Conference, might have been the Effective Executive, but I doubt it because we had a bunch of chief executives and higher level people there. And so they would have been aware of this. But I said, you know, quarterly tends to be how companies run. And the person said something to the effect, well, okay, that applies to big public companies because, of course, they have 10Qs, which are quarterly reports that are required by the governments. Most major governments require quarterly reporting from companies that are publicly funded through the capital markets, on Wall Street or the Bourse or London and Toronto as well. Okay, but you think, well, that's how they do it. And we read about that in the paper, the journal, or your local newspaper. Great, that's true. But what you don't realize, if you're private equity funded, they may very well be thinking about taking those companies public. If you're venture funded, same way, they're thinking about already putting in place the systems that they will run on when they get big enough to become publicly funded. I mean, Wally Budgell, our CEO client, and I'm a member of his board at Norley Group, reminded me recently, begin with the end in mind, which of course comes right out of Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Like, we intend to be a public company or to be sold. And the way companies are bought and sold is they look at quarterlies. Then somebody else said, well, like, what about private companies or smaller companies? And I said, you know, in smaller companies, you have to pay quarterly taxes. And the owners are probably very concerned about tax issues, so they want to know about how quarters go. So you should be looking for a quarterly cadence. In fact, if you find a quarterly meeting, let's say in the second week of the first month of a quarter, so you think of January, February, March, and you think April, and in the second week, there's a quarterly ops planning review, as an example, QOPR, quarterly ops review, QPR, quarterly plan, whatever. There are thousands of different names for them. What you then should assume is if you go forward 3 months from then, so it's in the middle of April, so January, February, March, it's the first quarter, so April, May, June, that will mean there'll be another meeting just like this in the second week of July. July, August, September, second week of October, October, November, December, second week of January. That's how things run. Okay, next, we want you to modify your own calendar to get in front of the forces that affect you. Now, you've probably already drawn this conclusion. Oh, I get a sense of the cadence. That's helpful to me. But you also want to modify your own calendar. Consider how your calendar should be changed based on what you learn. Maybe your staff meeting should be after your boss's staff meeting with his boss and your boss's staff meeting with you. This isn't always easy, and maybe it's not even smart for your team, depending upon some cadences only you can understand, but it depends on how much cascading delegations come out of these meetings, right? It could be that your boss takes a day to process his boss's stuff, and so that boss's meeting is on Tuesday, and you start getting it on Wednesday, so maybe Thursday morning is a good time for your staff meeting. Now, you may say to yourself, well, in my old job before my promotion, I always had it on Tuesday at 9 o'clock, so I'll do it the same here. That's fine if, in fact, that works with your boss's calendar and the boss's cadence. But you got to keep those kind of things in mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And folks, think about other things. I learned this lesson specifically from Trevor Woods. I think we've mentioned in this cast already or in a previous cast.
No, previous cast.
Recently. Think about the benefits of coming in early when the boss comes in early. Maybe it'll be easier to get 5 to 10 minutes to ask questions, both about current operations, but around swimming upstream. And I think that's something that Trevor learned. And that if he came to the office really, really early, his boss was there
early.
Yeah. And it was just the two of them in the office that early. And he had all this extra time with his boss to learn all this other information that others weren't necessarily learning or getting in the same way because he was there. What think about things like the benefit of staying later when your boss leaves early. Maybe you can start preparing annual reviews or plan out the next quality initiative or quarterly briefing, whatever it may be.
Yeah. By the way, I'm going to just mention one other thing. I know Trevor, and I know a lot of other executives at his level and even higher, although there's not much higher to go for Trevor. And I know a lot of people who think, oh, my boss is in early. I'll walk in and sit down and we'll have a chat. Don't do that. The vast majority of bosses at higher levels, whether you like it or not, are high Ds are comfortable with risk. They're comfortable with making decisions. They like to move fast. You'll discover speed will always increase the higher you go in the organization, which is counter to the idea that I'm getting paid more, my life is a little better. But no, things are going to be faster because if the top is going slow, the bottom is stuck in neutral and not doing anything. So the top has to go super fast. Every layer cuts a little bit out of that. And by the time it gets to the bottom, it's probably tolerable. But if you go into your boss's office and she's in at 6:30, she came in early to beat the rush. Okay. So in that sense, she's in a rush to get her stuff done before the deluge happens. And so if you're going to go in early to catch a minute, do this. Poke your head in and say, do you have a minute? And if your boss says yes, remember that you asked for a minute. Don't walk in, as happened to me. Hey, they ask, you got a minute? It's 4:30 in the afternoon. I'm like, sure, I got a minute. And they walk in and they sit down. And I get this funny look on my face. They say, what's wrong? I said, dude, I'm going to be honest with you. I love you. I'll give you a kidney tomorrow. I'm in your 2 a.m. club. But don't ask for a minute and then come in and sit down, because I know what you mean is, can I get my foot in the door and then take as much of your time as I want, which is disrespectful to my time. You're always entitled to time with your boss, even if your boss doesn't know it or behave like it. You are. You are legitimately entitled to talk to your boss on a regular basis. One-on-one certainly would help, but a lot of more senior people don't do them. That's fine. But you're not entitled to do it in a way that messes with their calendar. So when you say, do you have a minute? They say yes. Stand in the doorway and say a couple of quick questions, A and B. You're sending them a message that you're being respectful. And if they say, no, come on in, sit down, let's talk about that. That's a completely different kettle of fish than you walking in and sitting down first. Learn that lesson now.
Agreed.
So this whole exercise will expose you to the rhythms of your org. If you work for a smart boss, you'll see prep time on their calendar before important meetings. You might want to ping them and say, I see you've got some prep time on your calendar. You need anything, right? One lesson there is you may be asked for data and recommendations related to it during that or before that prep time. Leave more time on your calendar for that, right? Consider moving one of your own trips during that time if you can. Tell a couple of your directs, hey, boss is doing a planning session in her office right now. I may want to move these one-on-ones at short notice. No problem. We'll be able to reschedule them.
Absolutely. Okay, so now we've swum upstream. We've learned our boss. We've learned our organization's cadence. Now it's time to learn about your new team. Also, ask your predecessor for a personal review of your new directs. And folks, going back to what Mark said earlier, you're also going to simultaneously ask HR for everyone's personnel packets, including performance reviews and resumes, however current they are, and they might not be current at all, you still want them. So you can put all these things together, the personnel review from your predecessor, plus all the stuff that you got from HR. And folks, not asking for this is a classic miss. People don't understand what the manager knows that the organization doesn't about folks' background and skills. And we always ask about risks or bad relationships or sore spots for an employee. Maybe there's bad blood between two of the people on the team, and knowing that would be helpful. And some people, some predecessors may not give you that level of detail, but we would suggest it's important enough to ask nonetheless.
Yeah, good. Next on the list, announce one-on-ones before you start. So once you know you're getting promoted, it's been announced, but maybe the job doesn't start until Monday, send an email to your directs and announce that you're going to be doing one-on-ones with them. And remember, now, if you're now a director or a senior director, or whatever, you can insist on everyone who is a manager beneath you in your organization to manage the way you do with whatever your implementation of the manager tools trinity is. I know that people talk about managerial style. It's a horrible phrase that has misled millions of people for hundreds of years. You don't get to have a managerial style. You get to manage the way your part of the organization is managed. And so don't wait around and say, look, I'm going to do one-on-ones with you. You're going to experience them if you haven't already. And then I'm going to have you doing them. And then I'm going to do feedback and you're going to do feedback and so on.
Yeah, folks, I had presented the effective senior manager recently. And one of the things that we talked about extensively is this idea that when you're managing managers, it is assumed by the organization that you have got a proven method for knowing your people, talking about performance, asking for more, and pushing work down. And not only is your method proven, it is one that is repeatable by you and teachable by you to others so they can then repeat it. The way I think about it is you're no longer managing everyone on the team. You're managing some people through others. So you want to make sure their way works. It's not just their natural style with which they're leading.
I just had lunch with an HR, the head of HR for an organization, and the chief executive has one of his directs not doing one-on-ones with 10 of his directs. And the chief executive is sort of holding off on holding him accountable for that.
Doesn't want to insist.
Mm-hmm. Right. Doesn't want to insist. Great guy. Love him to death. And you know, the HR person says, how do I hold that manager accountable? And I said, actually, HR doesn't hold anybody accountable. The chain of leadership, the chain of authority holds people accountable. So you've got to talk to your chief executive as a staff person and say, you got to hold them accountable, boss. It's up to you.
Absolutely, folks. It's entirely appropriate in this situation to insist on your directs starting their one-on-ones with their directs pretty quickly, like not delaying, but you do need to first brief them on how to do them. So there's going to be a little delay due to education time, let's call it. But yeah, we would recommend that you get this moving quickly as well.
Yeah. You'll also want an operational review from each of your directs about what they're working on and status and so on. And you might think, I can do that in my one-on-ones, but you probably can't. Okay. So for each of your directs, schedule separate from your O3s in the first couple of weeks an operational review where they brief you on their team members, their projects, their status. Look, if you want, you can create a simple PowerPoint or other template, whatever you like, of what you want them to cover. Depends on your estimation of their capability to do it without the guidance. I will say that if you make it into a PowerPoint, they're going to feel like it's a presentation, Whereas if you just give them a Word document and say, here are the five topics I want you to cover, they wouldn't have to send it to me in advance. You might like it in advance to review it, but I would probably not do that. I'd say, here's a template, fill it out as best you can, come in and brief me, I'll take notes and ask questions and so on.
Yeah, perfect. All right, we're going to then tell your team how to work with you. And folks, there is an Executive Tools cast about helping your directs work with you that has been so well received that it's become a Hall of Fame cast. If you're not an Executive Tools licensee, we encourage you to become one. But again, we're going to share some of the highlights here.
One fast way to do this about teach your team about working with you is to create a working with me or a how to work with me guidance document for everybody in your org. And by the way, not necessarily just your directs. And then we recommend after you create it, and we're going to give you an outline here, that you brief them on it and go over what you think are the high points and then encourage them to ask questions.
Exactly. All right. So we'll give you then a little amalgamation of the working with me documents that we've seen in the past that we thought are specifically
But you
good.
Can't use this because it's not you. You have to substitute you in there.
Yeah, you do have to make it your own. One of the first topics that we'd encourage you to include is a little about me. That is, share where you're from, where you went to school, what you studied, maybe a brief overview of your career. If you want to attach your CV, you absolutely can. It's not necessary. It might be more than is really helpful. The idea here is helping them learn you and a bit about your background, not seeing the nuts and bolts of your career, per se.
Yeah. Next, tell them about your family. If you're married, say so. Share your partner's name. If you're divorced, say so. Okay, that's okay. If you've got kids and you're divorced and you're sharing custody, you can mention that, okay? If you make time regularly for your kids, say so. If you say 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, I go coach soccer, you know, when the cat's away, the mice will play. But, you know, I don't want you to worry that I'm cutting out early. I'm cutting out early for my kids and my kids matter. If you pick up from daycare on Tuesday, share that. It doesn't have to be much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Maybe you have elderly parents living with
you. Yeah.
Share that.
Absolutely. That's great stuff to share. Then there is communication and communication tools. So what we would suggest is you share how you do email. So for instance, you could say to them, I only do email 3 times a day when it's on my calendar. To me, email is not urgent and I don't treat it as such. You could say, I like BLUF, stands for bottom line up front. Don't send me 12 paragraphs of email with a question buried in paragraph 11. You could say, don't expect me to open up all of your attachments. Or if you CC me on something, the rules say I can assume there are no deliverables in it for me, and I'm only going to read it at the very end of the day.
I had somebody ask me, how do you keep track of the CCs? I said, I don't. My system does. If I'm CC'd, it goes in a folder called CC, and that's the one I read right before I go home. Not hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And there are people who go, no. Our organization is an email culture. Trust me, you can do this. Yes, your boss may insist that you read her or his emails immediately. Dumb urgency, but whatever. Even though they're dumb, doing a dumb thing, they're still your boss. And so you should have a special folder just for your boss.
Right, like a VIP folder.
Right. Generally, on most email clients, there's a chance to separate folders, and you should have a folder called boss.
Yeah, boss, VIP, so that you look at that one more often. And folks, it's certainly easier to follow this guidance, the only reading CCs once a day kind of guidance, if you've communicated it in advance and people aren't shocked or surprised at the fact that it's going to occur. And that's what we're trying to do here. And share what you think goes in email versus Slack versus Teams, versus a telephone call. All of those things have different degrees of urgency. And I would assume, I know I do, we all define them differently. Like to me, a telephone call is the most urgent.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true of most, but I don't think a Slack message is urgent at all.
It doesn't matter that most think it. Some people are like, no. Teams is absolutely the most urgent. Like, no, dude, sorry. Well, certainly in the executive world, that's not urgent. And email that's urgent, somebody says this is urgent, there's actually a toggle you can switch on saying this email is urgent. It's like, no, dude, really, no. That's like, no, black is not white. White is not black. I have a funny story about that. When Mike was leading a very large 600, 700 person organization at MCI before, actually when he was a client of my previous consulting firm, Horseman & Company, he would get a daily 30-minute voicemail from one of his people giving him a status report. Now, Mike loved daily status reports on this project because it was important, but it was 30 minutes long. And finally, he saw the guy, and the guy said, "Hey, did you get my voicemail?" And of course, he said what I say when people ask me, "Did you get my email?" Email works, so I always say yes, but then I also say, "I probably didn't read it." And he says, "Yeah, but I got to tell you, dude, I'm not listening to it. It's 30 minutes long. I don't have time. I don't have time. Can you just give me an executive summary?" And the guy says, "Well, there's more to it than that." He says, "Fine, give me the 1 minute, 90 second, 2 minute most executive summary. And if I want to listen to the rest based on the summary, I will. Feel free to give me the summary. You just got to give me some executive overview of what's going on." And the guy's like, "Okay." And then for the rest of the time, Mike got what he needed. And every once in a while, I had to listen to more, and it was fine. But the guy didn't know any better.
Just giving people those kind of guidelines, the way you think about stuff, just makes it so much easier.
Perhaps their previous boss says, "I want a 30-minute voicemail."
Yes, exactly. Maybe the previous person asked for that. You don't know.
Yeah. And for some of you younger people, we've been reading that, oh, you know, younger people are uncomfortable on the phone. The phone is an important, actually, the Wall Street Journal had an article where young people are uncomfortable, so uncomfortable talking on the phone, they'd answer the phone because they know it's somebody at work, but they don't say anything. So we had to teach them that you have to say hello or Mark Horseman or something like that. Don't say Mark Horseman if you're not Mark Horseman.
Yeah, don't. That's weirder than saying nothing.
Right. But phones matter, okay? And you have to learn how phones work. And leaving long voicemails for people is probably not good. It's a short voicemail followed by, "I've sent you a Teams message," or "I've sent you an email with more detail about this," because voicemails get full. And I've had situations where my voicemail got full while I was on a plane because several people left me 7, 8, 10 minute long voicemails. And I can read much faster than I can listen.
Tired of just managing? Ready to truly lead? Prepare yourself for the change from frontline to senior management now with our Effective Senior Manager Conference. You'll build executive systems and learn how to manage through layers with clarity and consistency, transforming your leadership. Sign up today at manager-tools.com/training.
Next is, after comms, is people tools. Talk about how you'll do one-on-ones, or don't mention them if you don't do them. I don't know why you wouldn't. If you do them and you intend for them to do so soon, tell them I will be doing them and I'll be expecting you to do them as well. If you use other manager tools like feedback or coaching or delegation, mention it. You might give them an example and a link to the cast if you want them to learn about it. If you want, tell them if they want to give you feedback, it should absolutely be verbal and in the form of a recommendation. Don't use the feedback model upwards. You probably have to say, now that you're becoming an executive, if you're managing managers, how important delegation is to you. And if it's not important to you and you think of yourself as an executive, you're doomed. You're doomed. And you've gotten your pass for as long as possible. You're a do-it-all-yourself kind of person. Great for you. But now if you're managing managers, and I know maybe you're not, you've just gone from individual contributor to manager. But if you've gone from manager to senior manager or manager director, delegation is now part and parcel of who you are.
Absolutely. What takes us then to meetings. Mention any standing meetings you've got, like your staff meeting, for example, and how you plan to run it. Like, I plan to have ground rules. There will always be an agenda. We're going to start with a briefing on our goals, what have you. And talk about or tell them about stand-ups if that's part of what you do and how you lead your team. If you have an admin, share that you and that admin do a daily operational stand-up as well, so that they know there's going to be a part of the morning there where you're kind of unavailable and it's because you're getting yourself ready for the day. If you have a block of time in the morning that you consider your admin time, and that's when you get your thoughts together and you're happy with them dropping by, you can say that. "Hey folks, between 7 and 8 every morning, I'm doing my admin stuff, getting ready for the day. If you want to drop by, I'll be here." Like anything like that.
Yeah. In fact, if you have an admin, you darn well better tell him. You may be a manager and he or she may be an individual contributor, but she works for me and you should speak to her like you would to me. And what's more, she speaks for me. If she tells you tomorrow's Tuesday, Christmas, you can get your stocking ready. Great execs take very good care of their admins. And the better relationship you have with your boss's admin, the more time of your boss's you'll get. You'll also want to share about your operating system. Share with them how you intend to integrate what you do with your org's planning into surely what is the quarterly planning systems of the company. Standing quarterly meetings, maybe rough agendas and so on. You may want to schedule the first one so they know about it and send them an example of an old agenda so they know what they're in for in 6 weeks or 2 months whenever the quarter comes around.
And then ultimately we get to performance management and communication systems. Folks, we should agree on measures and we should talk about those measures constantly. None of us like being surprised. You don't like being surprised. So it's better to see things coming. And that comes from reviewing what we know that we are to be doing. You'll hear me ask if I can give you feedback.
If you use our model.
Yeah, if you use our model, yes. You'll hear me ask if I can give you feedback and tell them I will try and do it a lot. I talk about performance on a daily or weekly basis because, again, no surprises. And people who want to be excellent crave performance information. You can let them know I do quarterly scribbled reviews and mid-year handwritten reviews. I don't mind mistakes. I mind a lack of communicating about mistakes. Tell them things like, I love deadlines and I don't like deadlines being missed. Who does what by when is my mantra. And don't let a meeting end without clarity on deliverables and don't miss a deadline without alerting whomever you owe it to before it's due that you might miss.
Yeah. These are the only highlights, guys, and you may have a little different flavor to your professional approach to management, and that's okay. We respect that. But you owe it to your team to tell them about it. You know it. Tell them about it. Let them adjust. Let them have a chance to be a good subordinate, a good direct report with you. And again, these aren't your highlights. These some of ours.
Yeah, so these are ours.
This is a template to make your own.
Yeah, set expectations, folks. I can't tell you how many times I firmly believe that a clear setting of expectations at the beginning would have alleviated all of the headache experienced at a later time. That's why we do the first meeting with new direct series, right? Just get out ahead of that stuff. Otherwise, you're having to give some more negative feedback than is deserved. And that's because you didn't do your job by letting them know what was important to you. So start there.
Good. All right. Do you want to summarize?
Sure. Yeah. Folks, when you get promoted, you have to manage the transition. You can't just forget about your old job and focus on your new job. It's not two steps, old job and new job. It's really, think of it like three steps, old job, transition, and new job. You want to help your successor by preparing information that will help them take care of your former team. And before you're in a new role, learn about its standards and about its processes and start creating or improving upon the new relationships around you, especially with your new boss.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good one.
It was. It was really good. Really good. I liked it. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, folks. We hope this helped you. Now, help us help others and tell all your friends. And of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please. Bye, everyone.